Good for Others podcast. I'm your host, John Valencia, and with me today is our producer, Samantha Heron.
Hey, guys.
Today's guest is Warren Ruiz. Warren is a natural people connector. Since 2006, Warren has been working for San Diego Gas and Electric. He is currently the Director of Regional Public Affairs. Warren is well connected throughout San Diego and currently serves as a board member for California Coast Credit Union, San Diego Grantmakers, San Diego LGBT Community Center, and Mana de San Diego. Welcome, Warren.
Hello there. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And if people haven't noticed, we are remote. So we're trying our best. So if there are technical difficulties, we apologize and appreciate your listenership. To kick off today's podcast, I'm going to ask Warren a few lightning questions so we can get to know you better. How does that sound?
Works for me.
Great. All right. Coke or Pepsi?
Diet Coke.
Yes, me too.
Can, not bottled. Yeah.
Yes, me too.
Right?
I knew it. I knew I liked you. All right, dog or cat?
Dog. Cats are, I know we're recorded, but cats are just rodents. Dogs are pets.
Agreed. Would you like a big party or a small gathering?
Small gathering.
Sneakers or sandals?
Flip-flops.
Perfect. Me too. Amusement park or day at the beach?
Oh, good question. Well, probably day at the beach now during COVID. Eventually, maybe an amusement park.
Save or spend?
Save.
Oh. Name a celebrity you'd like to have happy hour with.
Oh, man. Well, I'm a big country music fan. So any like country singer, George Strait, Keith Urban, happy hour dinner, just get to see them and shake their hand, kiss the ring, whatever.
That sounds great. All right. And on a more serious note, who or what inspires you?
You know, there's a lot of folks that inspire me. I love those who you know, are able to earn and create jobs and give back to the community and give back in their own ways. So, who, you know, I love the Giving Pledge, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, folks who have employed millions of people through their own value chain, but also have committed to giving at least 95% of their wealth away after they pass on. Those folks inspire me every day.
That's awesome. All right. So before we jump into the topic, tell everyone a little bit about your background.
Yeah. So I'm a native San Diegan, 30 something, born and raised in, in East County, where I currently reside with my partner. It's a great city to live, work and play in. I love San Diego. Can't imagine leaving ever. And specifically love the East County. You know, you get a little bit more for your money and not as much traffic and congestion. My folks are out here. My grandparents are out here. Some of the community organizations that I'm involved in do work out in East County. So, I love being out here. John and I actually, who's your moderator today, actually have been, youth activists before it was cool back in the day and done a bunch of stuff in the community. So, you know, Eagle Scout and involved in scouting through my childhood, and certainly happy to continue being involved in the community and really call San Diego home.
That's amazing. I was just talking with a friend yesterday about Boy Scouts and how you guys sold popcorn. Did you sell lots of popcorn?
No, actually, I didn't sell a lot. We were forced to, but I'm telling you, it's a lot tougher to sell than cookies. The girls had it easier. And you know, I typically will give a contribution to Boy Scouts, but not buy their popcorn product. Cookies is what it's at.
So it's funny. I was reading an article about the popcorn sales, and they actually make more money than the Girl Scout cookies because of the profit margin. Who would have thunk?
No, it's a $58 tin of popcorn. Of course they're going to make money.
Wait, that's how much it is? That's awesome.
Yeah, it's so expensive. I'd probably buy a little bit more popcorn if the scouting policies were a little bit more inclusive, but that's a topic for another day.
That is. Well, great. Well, thank you for being here. So today's topic is employee community engagement. So So for our first segment, I'd like to chat about the importance of employee-community relations and what that means. And then in the second segment, we talk a little bit more about ways listeners can get their companies more engaged in helping their own local communities. So let's first start with Warren. As you've been so supportive of the nonprofit sector for so many years, you went to school at USD, go Toreros, got an MBA in finance. So you probably thought you were going to do something with business and finance, I'm guessing. And then you went, and here you are in on really more of the relationship building side of the business. So how did you get there?
Yeah, it's actually goes to kind of the topic of the podcast today. So I did graduate with a business degree, later went back while I was working for an MBA. But, you know, as soon as I started at the company, and again, with San Diego Gas and Electric, I started getting involved in walks and runs and all sorts of charitable causes, a lot of focus on the diversity front. We have a diversity is really kind of a part of our DNA at Semper and SDG&E. So whether it's employee diversity, supplier diversity, charitable giving diversity. And so I was heavily involved in those projects. And what I found myself doing is spending a lot more time on the weekends, doing some of the charitable stuff and volunteer work through the company's opportunities than I did my own work in the supply chain department, which is where I started. So the company provided me a whole bunch of opportunities to really be informed of how it's appropriate and needed and good for business to be a good community partner. And it just made it easy. And after about 4 or 5 years in the purchasing department, I migrated over to the community relations side, where I spent several years.
Nice. So what do you think is what inspired you to think about caring for others? You talked a little bit about you mentioned your grandma. I know your mom, you have a good relationship with. A lot of people I talk to stumble upon a nonprofit. Maybe it's a health-related thing, and all of a sudden they're suffering from something. So now they're involved with an organization that they had not known about. But what was it that inspired you to give back at an early age?
Yeah, really good question. I think it was a combination of a whole host of items. I mean, I remember being, essentially crawling and having my mom bring me to a Lemon Grove Chamber of Commerce meeting or a East County Chamber mixer a few years later. And so my mom, small business owner, always heavily involved in the community. And so I think it was just expected. Like, yes, you're going to have a job and you're going to perform well, but what are you going to do in addition to that? And so that was sort of also ingrained through scouting and, obviously tons of community involvement through the scouting program. So it wasn't what, right? It was just expected. Mm. And so as soon as I started the company, like I said, I got involved in those things. But I think it was ingrained from an early age. And I would just encourage those with kids to start early. You know, giving back should just be core to who we are as Americans.
That's awesome. All right. So from your perspective, why does public relations and community relations, why do they matter?
It matters because at kind of the Maslow level one now, which I probably wouldn't have said 20 years ago, and I think, those in business may have not said 20 years ago, is that it just wasn't expected, right? I mean, if you think about how business has grown in America, there was not an expectation of involvement. Now there is. I mean, just giving back and cutting a check at a minimum is expected, right? It's not just good for business. It's the expectation that the citizens of your communities you serve have of you as a corporate citizen. And I didn't say good corporate citizen yet. I think that's just a baseline, right? We should be giving back. That is the right thing to do. I think the expectations have exponentially grown of our customers and of our elected officials, of our communities, that it's not just cutting a check, although we still need that, right? But it's what's happening on top of that. Are you placing leadership, members of your leadership team on boards of directors? Are you volunteering on the weekends? Are you allowing for easy employee giving through payroll deduction? So I think cutting a corporate check is needed. It's absolutely the right thing to do, but there's so much more that can happen, and it's just expected.
Yeah. Obviously, I've been well connected with San Diego Gas and Electric for a long time. My mom worked there for many, many years. But one of the big things that I think is ingrained.
She built a great company.
One of the cool things that you guys do that obviously is what you do for them now is helping to build also these public-private partnerships. And I think what's neat about what you guys are doing and you specifically as a person are you're not just going and donating your time to sit on a board. Like, sure, you're doing that. But they're connecting the right people that work within the organization to the right causes that matter and that are part of the culture of what your organization represents. So how have you kind of selected and picked which organizations that matter to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things the company provides us, which I love, is, you know, a wide variety of organizations to get involved with and opportunities to maybe, you know, get involved outside of kind of the pillars of the company's giving strategy. But I think one of the best ways our company does it, and I know a lot do around the region, Qualcomm has some great options for this too, is really kind of opening the company up to the community. So yes, we're a utility. We provide an essential service. We are not a luxury item. Gas and electricity is something folks need. It's basic, it's core, but we have accountants and finance people and purchasing people and environmental specialists. We have 6 full-time meteorologists. We have archaeologists, biologists. We have water quality people. Yes, and we have some of the hardest working crews climbing poles and laying gas pipe to make sure you have a hot shower and that your air conditioning comes on. So whatever spectrum you could see yourself in business today, if you're a 12-year-old kid from City Heights who's not had a lot of attention and the mentorship you need, we may have a home for you at SDG&E, right? And so what we've done is taken some of these highly talented, highly trained, in some cases licensed professionals, and gotten them into the community, whether it's through, you know, something significant like a board placement or something material and that matters, like volunteering on the weekends or becoming a big brother or big sister. Some of those programs are really focused on equity and inclusion, which is super important to the company. And I think our giving strategy and our volunteer strategy is really, really focused on that and making sure
that
it's
amazing.
An appropriate and representative way to get engaged for the communities we serve.
So I know from a personal experience how much you guys do to support San Diego, specifically within our education world. So I was a vice chancellor for community college for many years. And I'm recently actually helping doing some consulting work with San Diego Continuing Education. And you guys were really, really instrumental in supporting a lot of the work they're doing right now, because so many people have just suddenly become unemployed because of COVID-19. And you guys with New and a bunch of amazing human beings really stepped up to the plate in figuring out how to support local nonprofits. You guys are doing some pretty cool stuff right now with COVID-19 and stuff like that. Obviously, it seems like that's just something you guys would have just naturally have done just because you knew it's something that affected the community. But how has that support kind of motivated you as a person, right? Because here you are, we're all sitting here wondering, how do we help each other, right? And you get to work for a great organization that really, truly has the capacity to support others during COVID-19. So how has that kind of process gone through with you, and how has that helped you kind of support the efforts you're looking for?
Yeah, you know, I think the thing that's unique for our organization and for utilities across the country is that whether you're on the East Coast and you serve customers, you're so used to hurricanes, or for us, we're so used to wildfires and earthquakes, or in the South, you're used to the weather conditions down there and some of the heat waves that come across the West. I think we're so well prepared, and probably much more prepared than the average business for emergencies. And I say that not necessarily a fabulous thing, right? Emergencies are terrible, but it's so ingrained. And so I think while my blood pressure probably went up 10 or 12 points, I think probably the average person in business probably went up 40. And that's not a good or bad thing. It just is. We are so prepared for emergencies and so prepared for what could happen. So when this started coming, obviously we planned early. We have a full-time dedicated emergency services team, and they started planning for how do we handle employees and how do we handle working with customers during this, and a number of commitments that we made to the community before our regulators forced us to do so, that I'm really, really proud of. And those things stand on their own two feet. But I think we're so prepared and ingrained to handle things like this that it made our response easy. I would say to the other part of your question that not everybody right now can give. As you mentioned earlier, I sit on a number of nonprofit boards, and some of the things that we're doing is lifting up and being okay with a $5 or $10 contribution, right? That is so meaningful. And in some cases, we get enough of those. They're transformational, and they keep services flowing. So lifting up those voices and folks who are stepping up, lifting up smaller donors, so everybody can help, even in a small way. And I think making sure that those who are giving and staying involved, whether it's through, let's say you're a volunteer at the Trevor Project and you're doing life-saving counseling services remotely instead of in person in some cases, that is so important right now, and even more important than it was in quote-unquote the normal times. We got to lift those up. We got to showcase those examples to make sure that we inspire others to get involved.
Thank you for saying that, because that is exactly what this podcast is about. And ultimately, you know, any TV show or whatever we're working on can do, because this is a time. May we pause and just say, this is a PSA to say right now, anyone listening, give what you can, because just in San Diego alone, there's 12,000 nonprofits. I can guarantee you there's a lot less nonprofits there are right now than there were before COVID-19. And they are dependent right now. If you have a favorite nonprofit, send them $5, $10, whatever you can, because this is a time that will make or break so many businesses, especially nonprofits. So thank you, Warren, for just saying that, because I can't echo and reinforce that enough. This is a crucial time that will be a depicting future for all nonprofits. And if you have one that is a favorite, a dear heart, it's close to your heart for some reason, go now, right now. Stop listening to us. I'll even let you stop listening to us right now so you can go to the website and fill out their donation and give what you can, because that's what we need to do. All right. We do have to go to a break, commercial break, but we will be right back. Stay tuned. Thank you so much, Warren, for being with us. We'll be right back.
No one wants to live in a retirement facility. No one. Especially not you, am I right? I'm Kathy Thorpe, president of Nurse Next Door. When your kids start talking about how wonderful it is to live in a retirement home, have them go to nursenextdoor.com. You can live in your own home and get all the help you need. It's less expensive and it's safe. We've got the answers to every question at 888-988-5880. nursenextdoor.com.
Welcome back to the Good for Others podcast. I'm your host, John Valencia, and today we are talking with Warren Ruiz. Warren is a people person. He is really great at connecting all sorts of different organizations and nonprofits together so that we can have a better and stronger impact. Warren, so in the first segment, we talked about how businesses can get their employees connected to nonprofit organizations, and really how you did that and how the organization you work at, SDG&E, is doing that. But let's talk about those who are listening and saying, okay, all that sounds great, but my company I work at isn't really doing much. What do you think is the first step an employee could say to maybe their boss or their owner of a small business here in San Diego to say, we need to be doing more? What would you say to someone in that situation?
Yeah, thanks, John. I think every company can do something, right? Of course, the big major Fortune 500 publicly traded companies can cut checks and create big teams, but every company, even the smaller companies, can do something. My mom is a small business owner, and often she was a printer and would often donate some of her extra printing stock to nonprofits, you know, even some extra card stock she had on hand so that they could do thank you cards for the folks who are supporting their nonprofit. I think if you're a roofer or if you're a plumber, I guarantee you, you know, there are 13 or 15,000, John, you probably know better than me, nonprofits in San Diego. 3,000 or 4,000 of those have at least one paid staff member or more, and most of those actually have a building or a place that they work and operate out of, or a satellite location. And I guarantee you, some of those are probably in need of some plumbing or a new toilet or a roof job. So everybody who has some sort of trade or skill or talent can deploy that in the community in a positive way. I would also say you don't have to do all at once. So let's say you're a 3 or 4 person shop, pick a cause a year. Don't feel like you have to pick one or two a month. Pick a cause a year, focus on that, focus on growing your impact when you get to that month that you're going to do it, and stand down the other months. That's totally okay, but start somewhere.
I love what you just said there, and I would echo, and maybe we can talk about that a little bit more. Marketing is a huge piece to this, right? And people think, oh, I need to give, it's a good thing to do. But you're also, I mean, let's be serious, from a business perspective, you're also doing really good marketing and showing the public what your culture is like. Right. And there's no harm in sharing what you're doing. So for a lot of organizations, I'd say it's a win-win, right? Yes, you want to help and promote and support your local community, but you're also getting some really good marketing out of it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. And I would say that I don't know a single nonprofit who wouldn't tweet or Instagram or Facebook out a shout out to your business for stepping up. All three of those are free. Most of these nonprofits also have e-newsletters where they can give, let's say you're a dry cleaner and you want to support a local nonprofit and they have a gala coming up, you know, they're going to need linens that are clean. And, you know, let's say it's a child supporting organization. They've probably got kids who need fresh clothes and clean clothes, and you can support that if you're a dry cleaner. I guarantee you they're going to give you a shout out in their probably widely read newsletter or widely followed social media. So stepping up is so easy once you do it once. So just give it a shot.
Well, and the really interesting thing is, I mean, I've worked for big and small nonprofits. The small nonprofits I worked at still had a ginormous amount of supporters. And that e-newsletter you're talking about is a great, great opportunity for people to get their name in front of, right? To share the cool work that you're doing. And I always say, it's like, people always shy of like, oh, I'm not trying to do it because I'm trying to do marketing. No, listen. Like, this is all encompassing. If you're doing good work, let's expose that, because it's a great thing to be doing. And also, you're helping a nonprofit in the same breath. That's awesome. Right. And I think that people are looking for people or organizations that they can support and lean on who are like-minded and doing great work.
And you stepping up as a small business, I guarantee you will inspire somebody else who's on that email list to step up as well.
Thank you so much for saying that. Can we repeat that? You, as a small business owner, stepping up will really inspire others to do the same thing. 1,000% agree, because it really does take someone to be the leader, and then it comes back tenfold, right? I mean, Jeff and I were just, you know, we own Nurse Next Door, and we didn't necessarily do marketing and support other organizations because we wanted to look good. We did it because it was part of our culture and that we want other organizations to understand what we do. But in that process, it also means that we're sharing who we are, and we're also supporting the things that matter. And I think when other organizations see that and other potential customers, that's inspiring. You want to be associated with like-minded people, right?
Yeah, I think it's a good point. And I would also say, to expand on it, on that, these nonprofits have extraordinarily talented marketing professionals. So you asking for a shout out should be expected if they're not already offering it to you. So don't feel like you're asking for something that they don't get asked for a bunch, or something that you don't deserve if you've stepped up to support them. So nonprofits have to market just like you as a small business or large business have to as well. So don't be shy about asking for that shout out and that street cred. It's part of your business. It's also part of theirs.
And most importantly, if there's something a nonprofit out there is looking for, whether it's outreach, it's marketing, it's getting new donors or volunteers, listen, if you're out there and you're needing these things right now and you've got a great partner, and for people out there who are supporters of great organizations like ones connected to you and I with like California Coast Credit Union, all these different organizations who are out there doing things that matter. It doesn't have to be, oodles and noodles of money. Of course, we'd love that, right? But it can be, like you said, with your mom's doing with printing or whatever it may be. If you've got something that right now could help, that goes a long way. And I think that's what I want to echo here, is that it doesn't mean that you're giving millions of dollars every year. But if you could be donating some in-kind products, that really matters. And it goes a long way for sure.
Good point.
So with this, I would love for those who are listening right now and they're thinking, okay, my company right now doesn't do anything. What would you say from your perspective, like what would might be a first step for them to do next?
Yeah, like I said earlier, you've got to start somewhere. Pick a cause, do it once a year. Maybe the following year you do two a year. I think it also helps because a lot of businesses get hit up for contributions all the time. And it's okay to say, I'm not able to support that. This is the cause of our choice. That should be something you're proud about, and that's part of your brand and maybe mission aligned for you as a company if that's appropriate. But I would say, ask your boss if you're okay. Ask her, are you able to go out and see what our community that we serve really needs? We mentioned earlier how many, over 10,000 nonprofits in San Diego. Most of those nonprofits who have a team also have a website. And on that website, there's usually a staff directory, and it'll say something on there like volunteer coordinator or development director. Email that person and say, hey, I know you're the Boys and Girls Club down the street. I run the mechanic, or I run the IT firm down the street. We see you guys all the time. We want to get involved in the community. What do you guys need? Maybe we can do it. Maybe we can't. It's a 5-minute email, and I guarantee you, you get a response that is cordial and professional and honest. And those nonprofits will tell you, hey, we're struggling, on monthly donors. We're struggling on landscaping. We're struggling with our computer system. And there's a match to be made there that is potentially transformational for the community.
That's amazing. Yes. And I think I will echo it. It just doesn't need to be a lot. You could start with, say there's an organization you love that's doing a walk or a run. God knows it's crazy right now with virtual. If you're seeing something for American Heart Association or Crohn's and Colitis right now, I know they're doing a bunch of different stuff, and they're having to now translate what they do in person into a virtual format. I would urge all of you, follow them on social media, Facebook, whatever it may be, and pop in when it happens, because it's got to be so difficult right now if you can't have that one-to-one connection with someone. But I know we as the nonprofit sector is really trying hard to figure out how to engage with everyone to really bring that meaningful message of what we're trying to do to everyone's hearts, where we can actually hopefully open up someone's pocketbook in order to support the mission of any organization. So right now, whether it's if you can do in kind, if you can just show up and do something on a website or something virtual right now, let's support as much as we possibly can, because this is the time that really matters. So thank you for bringing that up, Warren. I do want to say, kind of digressing a little bit from what we're talking about, but I would love to know, what are you most proud of in your career right now?
Well, I think the biggest thing, and we touched on this earlier, but I think the biggest thing is, working for a company you're proud to represent in the community. I think, of course I work for a utility. Not everybody loves having a bill. I don't like paying mine either, but to know that your company that provides you a critical and essential service is also stepping up for the communities it serves in so many different ways is really important. And I think the things that we've done to take care of our customers is leaps and bounds above what other companies are able to do. And we are able to do that. And we're proud of that. So I love that. I'd also say you mentioned some of the other boards I sit on. So I sit on the board of the San Diego LGBT Community Center. And we have really done everything we can to morph some of the service delivery around counseling and case management to virtual as much as possible. I also am on the board of the California Coast Credit Union, which is a nonprofit member owned. If you're a member of a bank, please switch, go to a credit union. Doesn't matter which one, go to a credit union. CalCoast would be great. But California Coast voluntarily, with very little regulation, has stepped up to support our members with payment plans through the COVID crisis, and really done everything we can to waive fees and waive late fees and things like that. So call them if you need help. We are there for you. So I'm just proud to be associated with so many organizations that are stepping up. One other I should mention, I'm also on the board of San Diego Grantmakers, and I'm chair this year. And really, it is the Chamber of Commerce of philanthropists and nonprofits. And that organization has just done an extraordinary job to make sure that the funders and the charitable philanthropists in the region, by which we have many, many, even though as a small town, we have a lot of very generous folks, but that those corporate givers, those family foundations, those philanthropists are stepping up to give with an equity lens. And so some mm-hmm. of the training that we do is really focused on making sure your giving is inclusive, has equity top of mind, and that we lift up and empower those organizations who are really focused on communities of concern. So I'm just proud to be associated with that spectrum of groups.
So you just gave me the great opportunity to invite you back as another guest on our podcast, because I would love to talk about equity in regards to fundraising and supporting other organizations that really have that equity lens associated with it. I think that's a topic not many people are understanding of what that means. So that could be something great. But before we do end this segment, let's talk about equity in a moment, high level, because I know we could go into it for hours. But when you say that right now we're in a world with COVID-19 and nobody understanding like what's going to happen tomorrow. But if we're going to put in, and we're thinking ourselves as just general Joe Schmo sitting on his couch being like, how can I help right now? Equity means supporting those and giving those the resources so that they can have an equitable chance. And I guess that's redundant there. But they have a chance that is more level with their peers, right? So we need to really help those populations to have an equitable chance to thrive. So when we say that, what are you thinking off the top of your head about giving from an equitable lens? And is there a way that just Joe Schmo, any one of us sitting on our couch listening to this podcast, is there something we could be doing from more of an equitable lens?
Yeah, I think I have sort of, let me give you a very brief general answer about giving with an equity lens, and then I want to talk about COVID with a little bit more detail. But I think when we give with an equity lens, we want to really check our biases as much as possible. When you think something about someone or think something about a population, question yourself. Why do you have that bias? What's your natural inclination? And for most donors, and we want to encourage all generosity, but most donors want to give to those organizations that they're associated with, that are, you know, within your same herd. And so what we do at Grantmakers is really challenge folks to think outside of that box and really give with a lens that goes beyond who they're very familiar with. And that encourages much more inclusion within a giving spectrum. So that's kind of general. As it relates to COVID, I think one of the things that I'm most I don't know another word besides embarrassed, but I'm embarrassed for our country in a lot of ways that the most adverse effects of the COVID pandemic have hit the communities of concern that we talk about when it comes to equity and inclusion. It's adversely affected communities of color. Part of that is most of that is systemic. It's institutional, and the gaps in terms of service delivery have been amplified by the systemic challenges we see in those communities of concern. So if I'm thinking about a way to give with an equity lens right now, as it relates to the COVID pandemic, I'm thinking about local community health centers that are working in communities of concern. I'm thinking about San Ysidro Health Centers. I'm thinking about Family Health Center. I'm thinking about the San Diego LGBT Community Center. Those groups that are really ingrained in and not starting, you know, yesterday, but have worked for decades, for longer than any of us have been alive on this podcast, in these communities to support those who are often marginalized and overlooked. So I think challenging our biases at a general level, but also really focusing on where there's gaps during this pandemic is the best way to step up.
I couldn't say that any better. So thank you. We have to go to a quick commercial, but we will be right back.
Is your heart the biggest part of you? Are you a registered nurse, an LPN, or a certified caregiver? If so, we really want to meet you. I'm Kathy Thorpe, president of Nurse Next Door, and we've got a fantastic job for you. Nurse Next Door is an in-home elder care company. If you truly love people and want to help them, you're the person we need. We can teach anyone about caregiving and companionship, but we can't teach them about love. You've got to have that part already figured out. Find out more at nursenextdoor.com.
Welcome back to the Good for Others podcast. Today, we're talking with Ward Ruiz, who's really been enlightening all of us on the ways that businesses can give back to support their local communities. For our final segment, we play a quick game we call Three Wishes. Let's imagine there's a genie here to grant you three wishes. Warren, what would be your first wish?
You know, I think the thing that's so top of mind for us right now during the current pandemic is, you know, finding a quick cure to COVID, a quick cure that works for everybody inflicted by this disease and have it rapidly deployed.
So what would be your second wish?
I think what would be my first wish in non-pandemic land and my second wish now is really civility, right? I think from a political standpoint, from a community standpoint, we have a lot of folks who are just not happy and not willing to engage in a conversation. And we see that with different factions of the environmental, labor, business community. We've got to knock that off. Being able to get in the same room and have a conversation. Carl Luna at the University of San Diego has done an extraordinary job talking about the value of civility, interviewed some extraordinary thinkers in that concept. And I just want to see more of it.
And what about your third wish?
You know, maybe it's just because I've been stuck at home for like 3 months in COVID land, but I need a tan. I'm so pale.
Yes.
Nobody believes I have a Ruiz last name, but I just need to get a little color. That's my third wish.
I will gladly take it. That is so great. I actually laid out in the sun yesterday and the vitamin D was spectacular. All right. So that about wraps up today's podcast. However, before we go, I would like to thank Warren for joining us today. Warren, you truly are making a positive impact in the world by just being an authentic and inspiring leader. And if you've not heard that in the last 3 months because of COVID, I hope you hear it loud and clear here. There are so many people, especially here in San Diego, who really, really appreciate what you do and how you do it, because you do it from a really authentic and glorious place that's very, very transparent, and it's real, and it's well appreciated, and I hope you know that.
You're so awesome. Thank you for having me. I've had a lot of community leaders who have kind of paved the way for what humble, authentic leadership and showing up in the community looks like. People like you, people like Linda Katz. I've just been so inspired by all of those folks and inspired by you. I learn something from you every time I'm with you. So thank you for having me, and happy to come back whenever you'll have me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for everyone tuning in today. For more information about our conversation today, feel free to check out our website at goodforothers.org. As always, we hope you heard something today that inspires you to do good for others.